Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and with us here today from Austin, Texas, is Carl Floto and Ruth Ann, Widmeyer. And they've come to share their story with us today. Welcome, guys.
Hey. Hey, Del. How are you?
Good. Is Ruth Ann there?
Hi, Del.
Hi, Ruth Ann.
I am.
So, guys, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but going through your bio, I was really struck by the first paragraph. Because you guys sound so happy by the end of the bio, you know, everything was great. But it sounded so dark at the beginning of the bio. I want you, if you could, if you don't mind, share with us what it is like to be at that moment in your life, at that age, that stuff was going sideways, and how you felt, and just how bleak you can feel at some point in your life like that.
It was a really, really dark time for us, Del. We're both, coming out of divorces that were pretty disastrous. I mean, obviously emotionally, psychologically disastrous, but also there was a lot of financial wreckage. And we met each other, we found each other. And when, we kind of brought ourselves and our kids together, we started thinking about our financial future. And honestly, initially, we were really just looking for some sort of stability. The idea that we could ever really kind of prosper and thrive was almost kind of beyond imagination. We really just wanted stability. And that was pretty defeating, when you're well into your career and, you've got kids that are college age and all you're thinking about is, within a few years, you've got to be ready to go for retirement. You have to have something, to get through those final years of your life. So it was pretty discouraging.
Carl, how about you? What was going on in your life at the time?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, financial wreckage, done a lot of stupid things, even though I'm a quote-unquote smart accountant / CPA. I wake up and I'm 45 years old. I have nothing in the bank, essentially. And the retirement picture is totally blank. I mean, we are starting beyond, in a negative amount. We don't even have zero, essentially. We met with our kind of 401k guy, and that kind of confirmed, dude, you're out of time. I mean, there's no way you can. You don't have time to get rich slow.
That's a slap in the face. That's pretty bleak. You go to your financial advisor, he goes, just kill yourself. It's too late.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, financially, we were on our feet once we got together, and yet the baggage was a pretty heavy anchor. And, all this time I'm working like two jobs. I'm driving home at night. I'm hearing this guy named Del Walmsley on the radio talk about real estate. And, I do that for 2 years and I go, all of this sounds, I get it. I understand it. I've had tax clients with rental property. All this stuff that he talks about makes total sense to me. And I thought, what is this Lifestyles Unlimited group? And after listening to the radio for 2 years, I just thought, this thing's really legit. There's something to it. I started asking around. I found a couple people at church that knew something about it. And bingo, before you know it, I get invited to a case study on a Thursday night. And now we're off to the races.
When were you dabbling around with Dave Ramsey? Was that before Lifestyles or after or even before
you? It was actually before Lifestyles, and it's something that, and it's funny, I always feel like it's kind of this ongoing joke in Lifestyles. because obviously Dave Ramsey is a really, you know, different approach and different strategy, but it was part of our story. It really was part of how we stabilized ourselves. You know, we repaired our credit. We got out of, you know, we stopped using consumer debt. And, you know, also just really started living within our means. And some of those just kind of foundational approaches is what, within, you know, short order, really set us up so that once we, you know, kind of learned the lifestyle approach, we could start to use debt to our advantage. So it's part of our story. And actually, we became facilitators through our church and, you know, helped others kind of write their financial ship as well.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, guys, is that Carl being a CPA and all, it seems to me that the real basics of how to balance your checkbook and save for the future and all that stuff is stuff I learned when I was like 8 years old, 10 years old, something like that, you know, and people coming out and even being a CPA and needing to come back for that basic information.
Right.
Is always interested me. How did that not get out there, right? Maybe that should be in school or something type of deal. Well, not to hang on that too long. I understand what you're saying. It's you have to have that basis. That financial
right.
basis. And what I've always said was, you know, Dave, when you're done with them, send them to me.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, I wish I would have had maybe that Dave Ramsey learning, you know, in my, you know, late teen years and early 20s to, you know, kind of understand, you know, the foundational understanding of money management.
So how many kids did each of you bring to this group we're now
I brought one. Uh-huh. And Carl brought four.
Okay. So you got five. They're all adults now?
The youngest just graduated from college this past December and is fully employed. So we are officially empty nesters with everybody through school.
Congratulations. Now all I have to do is take back all the grandkids and start over again.
Exactly.
That's where we're at right now. We're doing the grandkid thing. We got one.
Yeah,
coming.
We just had we have seven, and the last three were born in January, February, and March.
Wow!
Yeah.
Good thing you're making some money now.
Exactly.
You got a lot of presents to buy. No doubt. So let's talk here, Ruth Ann. The rumor has it you were a skeptic.
That's true. I was both a skeptic and I was just too busy. You know, Carl came home and he kept talking about, you know, we were, you know, meeting with our financial planner and really thinking about how we were going to, you know, try to get really aggressive in our investing strategy, what we were going to have to sacrifice in order to be able to do that. And he kept talking about, he said, I've been listening to this show on the radio and I'm really interested and investing in real estate. And at first I kind of dismissed him and he kept bringing it up. And finally my answer was, you know what, as long as we're doing something, I'm good. If you feel strongly about it, then go for it. I'm really busy right now. I don't have time to attend these events, to learn all of this information. So I was really kind of ambivalent. But then also just skeptical. I just was worried that he was going to find himself being sold a bunch of services that weren't really going to, weren't really going to move us forward.
You know, I hate to put people in boxes because then, you know, you can't make a person fit perfectly in any box. But being you come out of educational background, you know, traditional schooling per se is your, you know, your work environment. Do you think that has something to do with anything out there that's not just traditional work, earn 401k, traditional stuff just is a little outside of the box?
Oh, absolutely. I think definitely when you grow up going to school, your professional life is in education. it's hard to imagine. I have this conversation all the time. It's, I mean, even like thinking about jobs, there's careers out there. I don't even have a clue, you know, what people actually do. I mean, it's fascinating what's out there.
We'll pick it up. We're going to pick that up when we come back. Okay, Ruth Ann, they're kicking us off. We'll be right back with Carl, Ruth Ann, and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Successful Lifestyles Unlimited member retires in 10 months.
The hardest part for me was to drop off my son, go to a job that I absolutely hated for 5 years, but know that that was a sacrifice that I needed to make, and then only be able to get to spend 2 hours with him after school before he had to go back to bed. So that's why once we started and we joined Lifestyles, we said, okay, we have a roadmap. We know what we're gonna do. And then a month later, we find out we're pregnant with baby number two. And we're like, okay, we gotta kick it up a notch. So that's how we were able to purchase 4 different properties and replace my income in 10 months so that whenever I finished maternity leave, I didn't have to go back to work.
I think a couple weeks before baby came out is when we closed on our fourplex. And that was enough for her not to have to go back to work.
Are you ready for your roadmap to real estate retirement? Attend the online free workshop just like Carolina did. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Carl and Ruth Ann out of Austin, Texas. And as we went to break, Ruth Ann got cut off. We were just discussing a point that I had made and asked Ruth Ann if she thought working in public education puts you mentally inside of a box of some kind about things that are bigger and better and I don't know. I'm maybe not even characterizing that correctly. Also, Carl being a CPA, that's a little bit of a conservative thing. And working for, a nonprofit, again, puts you inside of that same similar kind of box of that, you know, here it is, living within our means type deal, that there is no get rich quick, there is no excitement, there is no none of this. And I cut you off in the middle of that, Ruth. I'm sorry. Go ahead and pick it up where you're at about you said, I think you were saying you didn't even know there are certain jobs you have no idea what they even do or something like that.
Right. Just kind of, I think really both of us just, you know, we've worked for organizations where we earned really modest incomes. And those modest incomes meant that every dollar we had to be extremely thoughtful about, very, very careful with. And so there's very little risk taking that we'd be willing to engage in, right? We want to make sure that that modest income that we have is protected no matter what. And so you don't take any risks. You're not looking for something that's outside the norm. You're looking at the law of averages, what's going to be the safest, route that you can take to secure yourself financially. I think particularly after having, experienced, layoffs and some, financial setbacks because of the divorces earlier in our lives. There was a lot of fear associated with any sort of financial instability. So we were just super cautious.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, the burn me once, shame on you, burn me twice, shame on me type thing.
Right. And I think also that we just have that sense of if it sounds too good to be true, maybe it's too good to be true. And that was always, that was kind of my fear when Carl started, listening to something on the radio. Again, I didn't listen, so I didn't know what he was hearing. And then suggesting that, hey, I'm hearing this. And when he, in his rudimentary way, tried to, explain what he was hearing on the radio, I just had that skepticism. That sounds too good to be true.
Well, he, according to this bio here, he went to the 2-day by himself the first time he went?
Yep.
How hard was that, listening to him after he got home from that, huh?
Yeah, it was. It kind of, thankfully, he did have more information. You know, he came back and he had this, you know, a workbook and could kind of walk me through some things. He asked me, he said that, you know, that there was going to be the one of the bus tours out of San Antonio. And so we went down to San Antonio and we did the bus tour. So we toured some single family homes and, you know, saw the vendors and talked to some people. And so that helped. And we were attempting, you know, he was attempting to even kind of purchase, you know, make our first single family purchase. But I really removed myself from the decision making. I hadn't heard things firsthand. I didn't really understand kind of the analysis and the process. And so I think he just was super apprehensive to move forward without having me as a partner in the decision making. Really felt, you know, again, going back to the idea that we really were going to be really safe and cautious with our decision making. He just didn't feel good about making that decision on his own. And so, you know, he was looking at his initial property, he was about to make an offer on it. And then he, you know, basically, you know, he just kind of backed off of that. And he said, I really want you to go to the 2-day so that you can hear what I heard. And that way we're really collaborating in the decision-making process. I said, okay, how can I say no?
It makes sense, Ruth Ann, because if you both going through divorces, you obviously have learned something about relationships. And he obviously had the decision in mind that it wasn't worth ruining another relationship just to go do something he himself wanted to do. So that's probably a good point right there for him to have done that. But once he got you to go, what was the aha moments? Because it says here in the bio that once you came out of it, you were all guns ho. What was the aha moments that caught you?
I think a couple of things. One of the things that made a big impression on me during the 2-day was the number of people that come back to the 2-day experience that are in the process, that are actively investing, and they're telling their stories. And you're invited to ask as many questions as you want, and you're talking to real people that are making these decisions and that are, you know, investing their money in this way, and they're telling you what the difficulties were, what the challenges were, but also what the successes are that they're having. So it created a certain legitimacy, and that's one of the things that actually is one of my favorite things about lifestyles. Is that transparency in sharing of information. That's what really and truly is what won me over, is it wasn't just a one-way conversation. There wasn't a salesperson, so to speak, trying to pitch me on an investment strategy. It really felt like a collection of people, a group of people that were all trying to learn from each other. And then turn around and share what they had learned. That was really impressive.
So that, I'm going to ask you another question then, because what I'm hearing from you is that you're people person, people driven person. That people mean more to you than information and facts. And so, as a teacher, comment if you don't mind on the fact that most people that come out of the 2-day have the same comment. It's like drinking water out of a fire hose. It's just way too much information. What's your thought on that after going through it, being a teacher?
That's kind of interesting. That's an interesting question. I didn't find the content to be particularly overwhelming. In fact, I felt like, and I think this is a hallmark of a great teacher, is actually taking really kind of complicated thinking and creating some structures on top of it, some principles by which you operate. And so I felt like as I went through, you know, the first day talking about single family, I went through the second day talking about multifamily, I understood the guiding principles. And then, you know, threaded throughout each of those days were case studies. I mean, it's an example of great lesson design. Right? Big overarching concepts and principles that's going to guide our decision making. And then let's practice it. Let's apply it with these case studies. so that really anchored the learning for me. And so I didn't come out, I think I understood, once I understood the principles, I knew the rest of the details would come.
All right, great. We're going to do another break again. We'll be right back with Carl, Ruth Ann, and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley's real estate investing worst case scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Carl Floto and Ruth Ann
Weidner.
There we go. Thank you. Let's talk about, you came out of the two-day, you guys struck very quickly after that. Did you go home and make up a plan right then and there, or you just had Carl's plan in place and you just decided to say yes to it and go?
We had a little bit of money set aside for Carl's initial plan, right? So that's what we were going to execute. And so, in fact, we finished the two-day, and within 12 hours, as soon as we got an email blast with an appealing looking property, we tagged it and we ended up closing on it. One of the challenges that I walked away from the two-day with was the idea of using some of the equity in our house to maybe be a little bit more aggressive in our investment strategy. And I have to say that was probably one of the most difficult decisions, was to pull some of that equity out of our personal home in order to do some more aggressive investing. So that was kind of the two decisions that happened right after the two-day was, to number one, just make a move, right? Tag a property, purchase it, purchase our first rental, and then secondly, making that decision that if we're going to do this, let's follow the plan and let's really do it right.
Yeah, that's a tough one for a lot of people. Fortunately for me, that was never a tough one because I never fell in love with my home, first of all. That's part of it. Secondly, it always got me, why is all this money sitting over here and it's not paying me any money every month? As long as you just keep in mind, what are my assets doing for me? Are they sending me a check this month, or are they just sitting there, or am I paying them? And case of the house, you're paying it. In the case of the 401k, you're putting money into it. Everything you have that you think is an asset is sucking money out of your wallet every month instead of putting money back into your wallet every month. And that's the basis for all of that turnaround. Once you got that, you got it. So you ran out and got a deal right away. Did you get rented up right away?
It was actually one of the reasons I loved the property is it already had a tenant in it, and it had a single mom school teacher. And so not only do the numbers work, it needed some repair, but it wasn't, so there was some equity capture that was available there, but it wasn't a super extensive repair. But for some reason, that really resonated with me. Having been a single mom classroom teacher for a number of years, and knowing, you know, and struggling to find a nice place to live with my daughter, it really resonated with me. So to be able to come alongside this this wonderful lady and fix up her property was really kind of a great way to launch our investment.
So you got not only a financial gain, but you got some social justice out of it all.
We sure did. We actually, that's been a fun little benefit along the way, too. That was unexpected. There's been a lot of that.
So let's talk about the first rent check that comes in the mail. How does that feel?
Well, obviously quite good. It's, you know, you kind of go, oh, okay, well, this actually is working. But, I guess the whole process of buying, doing a little bit of rehab, doing a double close, and finally closing into a permanent loan. This first house, our cash out of pocket was $14,512, and our equity capture was $15,343. So I was like,
wow,
this is awesome. Let's do some more.
Even an accountant can figure that one out to be 100% return.
Exactly. So it was, it's just
exciting.
It's very intoxicating, so to speak. I mean, it's like, okay, that was cool, and it was fun, and it was financially rewarding. Within a couple, 2 months later, where we actually do a double close on two properties at the same time, which is pretty amazing.
Wow. So in this first one you made, how much now, $18,000?
Our cash out of pocket was $14,500. Our unrealized capital gain was
$15,343.
We just sold it this past October because the national cash buyer came along with a gigantic checkbook, and we, bottom line is, we netted $60,000 out of the deal. So our cash out of pocket was $14,500. We collected rent all along, and we put $60,000 in our pocket when we were all said and done.
I was just putting a radio show together about how much money the average person makes, and the average person in this country makes about $45,000 a year. I'm sure, being a teacher and so forth, that's probably in the range of somewhat. Mm-hmm. But to make $60,000 in one deal has got to be an eye-opener, that, hey, I can make as much in one deal as I made in a whole year of work.
Yep.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
And at the same time, you've got this, this cash flow. So, and it's interesting as you, start to, realize that, we're making, it. And one of our kind of strategies has really been to go after equity capture. We both really like our jobs. We're going to continue to work for a while. So the idea is we really want to do a big equity capture, but we want to make sure that everything that we buy has positive cash flow. And so even not focusing on cash flow, we're still, in our first six properties, we're, making $21,000 a year on these properties. And so $21,000 a year when you work for a nonprofit and you're a teacher, that's some, that makes a real difference in your lifestyle.
Absolutely. Carl, as an accountant, I'll tell you how I saw the cash flow thing. Maybe you can relate to this in some small manner. I saw that I worked for a health club company called Bally's Manufacturer, and we sold about $100,000 a week in memberships. So I was doing about $500,000 a month for these guys. And I'd turn that money into them each week. At the end of the week, we'd give them all of our money and so forth, turn it in. And then, at the end of the month, a check would come down. And, they took all that money, and $500,000 I gave them, they gave me back $3,500, and that was my check. And, you just wonder, where did all the rest of the money go, right? So then my first 2 months of being in this, I bought four houses at the same time. One that I bought three more the next day because it was so exciting. And I had $800 a month positive cash flow. And I realized, do you realize, Del, in just 2 weeks, you've created one quarter of your total income, replaced one quarter. And I just couldn't believe the checks would come in the mail, Carl, and they were mine. I go, what do I do with this now? Do I turn this in? Does the company take some taxes out? Where do I pay my taxes at on this? All those things ran through my head. Do I have to pay Social Security and Medicare? Do I have to pay income tax? And it was no. You stick the check in the bank. And it just blew my mind. I just could not see how money could come so easily like that. That's how I felt about cash flow, being an accountant by trade, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm an accountant by trade. So I've got that analytical burr, too.
Well, the back of my mind, I've always thought and known real estate was a good avenue and a good investment. But I had no experience with it. I knew nobody. None of the people I knew or had friends were actually doing it. I wasn't going to reinvent the wheel. I didn't know how to do it. And in steps, Lifestyles Unlimited. And we go to school and for a weekend and we come out and within 3 months, we've got three houses. So I think that's the magic is, again, with as so many with zero real estate experience, here we are socking it to it and having fun and building wealth.
How much equity did you capture in those first three houses, Carl? Do you know?
First three houses, we captured about, there's close to $45,000 in the first three.
Now, in totality, since you've started, how much total equity and cash flow do you think you guys have made off these deals so far? Doesn't have to be exact. No one's going to track it down.
Well, the cash flows, has been helpful, but we almost ignore it. Here's what we've done with about $105,000 is what we've invested over six properties. We've refinanced and dragged out $131,000.
We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Carl and Ruth Ann. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show. What would you say to women out there, Kelly, if they're thinking about doing this, if they're sitting out there right now going, I'm trapped with a glass ceiling where I work. I know I can't go up any further. There's no room there. What would you say to them about becoming their own boss?
Well, you can decide to stay where you're at and keep trying to crack that glass ceiling. But at the end of the day, in this environment, it is so easy, to be able to get out of that mold. People know me and they come up to me and they're very gracious and they don't look at me and say, oh, you're a woman, I'm not gonna invest with you, I'm gonna go over here. There's no real gender there.
Are you ready to be a part of a world where there are no glass ceilings, no gender bias, no limits? Start like award-winning real estate investor Kelly did with the online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Carl and Ruth Ann out of Austin, Texas. And as we went to break, they were just about ready to start sharing with us how much benefit they've had financially from their deals that they've done since they started. So I'm going to give it back over to you guys, hand it back over to you so you can pick it up from where you left off.
So in summary, Del, we spent about $105,000 investing in six different properties. And that was all 2018, and by the end of 2021, we have cashed out via sales and or refinanced almost $290,000, and we still have three properties left. So that's kind of we've turned our little $105,000 into almost $300,000.
Over about a three-year period of time, looks like about 100% a year to me. That's unbelievable, actually.
It's been pretty great, pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's, I look at real estate as, you know, producing about 30% a year overall. But if you've got that kind, that's about 300% return in what I'd say is about 3 years, a little longer maybe. Depends on when you started.
Yeah. But that's we still have, you know, ongoing cash flow. We still own the three. We're buying, you know, we actually just bought another property. We're in the hunt for more properties. So, and everything is still cash flowing great.
2021 was obviously a good year if you own real estate. We sold a couple properties just because somebody from New York was throwing around crazy cash, and we were able to refinance two of our properties that, you know, the appreciation's gone crazy up. So let's refinance and do some more work.
Excellent. So what's your plan from here?
Same song, second verse. We're having too much fun. You know, we like to add a couple single families a year from our out of cash flow, so to speak. We're involved with now three multifamilies, so in a, you know, small little bit. So we'll try to add another piece or two of multifamily each year. So just kind of keep doing this. This would probably work for, you know, stay in our W-2 incomes for two or three, 4 years, just because the cash flow is great, and sock it away in real estate.
I think you said you enjoyed your jobs anyway. One of the things that I found is as I got into this and started making money is that even the job that I particularly, parts of the job that I particularly didn't like became easier because I no longer worried about them. Does that make any sense?
Oh, we can very much relate to that. Yeah, there's a mental shift that happens when you know that you always have the option of walking away from your job, that you're choosing to be there every day because you enjoy it. It's, you know, enhancing your lifestyle, but that if push came to shove, you could walk away.
That's exactly what I meant. Yeah, it's a great thing.
And 3 years ago, you know, we weren't in that position.
Let's talk about legacy,
yeah.
The give back. When does that start and where does it start at?
Well, I mean, I think a couple of places and a couple of ways. For, you know, one, we, you know, like I said previously, you know, we have pretty modest W-2 incomes. And so, you know, we like to give. It's part of, you know, what we've founded our marriage on is giving away some of our wealth to the extent that we can. But it's really exciting to be able to make choices, you know, for charitable giving. We have found it just so fun to be generous in that regard. It's really, you know, allowed us to do some things that that we hadn't been able to do previously. So that's exciting. And then we're really excited about, you know, helping our adult children be better money managers than we were and learn how to grow wealth instead of just kind of stumbling along, presuming that everything will work out okay. So those are kind of our two, you know, big picture goals is to sustain that charitable giving and then start working with our own children.
Has any of the five kids shown any interest yet?
They have. You know, it's interesting. We have one of our son-in-law is involved in campus ministry. And so, you know, he and his wife, again, really living frugally. They have a very, very modest income given the work, given the field that, you know, they're involved in. And so they recognize that in order to pursue their calling and to continue to do that work, they, you know, want to be able to set themselves up, kind of liberate themselves to do the work that they feel called to do. So we're excited about helping him navigate that. And I think he's definitely shown the greatest interest so far.
That's great. It really is fun to help the children. I appreciate that. We just, a year ago, not one of our three kids had a house, and now all three of them have a house in the last 1 year. Along with a little baby in the bun in the oven, so things are moving along.
I think, you know, it's interesting. I think our definitely our youngest is also really interested. And I think because she's had really a front row seat to what we've been doing. You know, she was still in the House when we started the process. She was around, you know, when we were going to all of our first lifestyle events and coming home. And so we'd kind of talk to her about what we were learning and what we were doing. And so she's had that front row seat. And so this is the one that just graduated and has her first, you know, big girl job. So I'm sure she's already talking about when she can buy her first property.
That's great. Now, I got to ask you one more question. This is the last one. And it's a. I left it to last. It's always the fun one for me. Anybody out there give you a hard time for doing this? Family, friends, work acquaintances, anybody say, what the heck are you doing?
Yes. What jumps into my head is my parents. Very skeptical. They, you know, they made sure to say, oh, back in, I don't know, you know, decades ago, we bought a piece of commercial property and X, Y, and Z happened. And
I got you. Thanks for coming on, guys. I appreciate you sharing your story. The rest of you out there, remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.